Praise the Lord. Today is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. I've been doing that today. Have you? Yeah. You know, as we look around and see people, how many of you notice that a lot of people are living defeated life? Even some Christians. How many of you have noticed that? They seem like they're searching for victory and they don't seem to know how to get it. Some of them just given up and said, okay, this is just the way it's going to be. So I guess I got to live with it. You know, as we live down here in the earth, you know, I talk about it all the time. We're a two-part being. We're a natural being and we're a spiritual being at the same time. In the natural, we face a lot of battles. The enemy really likes to attack, especially Christians, in the mental area. And then, of course, we have physical battles. Of course, this one, everybody has it, financial battles. Especially the enemy is after us that go by the name of Jesus. He hates anything there is to do with God, Jesus. And he tries to get us to the point that we don't receive. We have relationship battles and spiritual battles. And many people don't understand how to win the battle. You know, they don't know how to get the victory. You see them this week, they're struggling. You see them next week, they're struggling. You see them next year, they're struggling. However, God has given us the way to victory. Mark 11:23. Whoever says to them, mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have what he says. Now, I'm not going to talk about faith tonight, but I'm going to talk about talking, speaking. This verse definitely tells us the way to deal with our situations is to speak to it. Because we believe it in our hearts, what the word says about our situation, whatever it is. Physical, financial, whatever. You see, your victory is in your talk. In your talk. You know, I had the privilege of growing up with a man by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. I'm named after him. It was my dad. I watched him practice this from as far back as I can remember. Because he learned this secret, he came off of the bed of affliction, speaking. He defeated death. He lived above the effects that it had upon him as coming out of a broken home. He overcome, lack, poverty. I remember as a kid, we didn't have enough to live on. But you know what? He kept saying, finances are coming. He kept saying, you know, all of this enabled him to rise from an obscure Texas preacher to become known, and he didn't like it, but they called him that, the modern day minister of faith. It was the greatest principle that I think that I could learn in the spiritual area from him was speaking. If you talk to my wife and even some of my kids, they know that I continually speak to things. But you've got to believe it in your heart. You got to, first of all, you can't believe it if you don't know what it says. You got to know what this Bible says concerning whatever your situation is. The problem I see with people many times is that they're making a confession based on scripture, but it's not what they need. You got to go find the word of God concerning your situation, quote that word, believe that word, and continue to speak it all the time. Say it, say this, my victory is in my talk. You know what it said? You say, believe and say, and you shall have. You know, some people, they talk about something this way, this time. Next time you see it, they're saying, talking the other way. You know, they said that, you know, sometimes you go back in history and they say people talked with a forked tongue. They talk peace over here and they're talking war over here. The Japanese did that in World War, in December of 1941. For all of you that are too young to know, I'll give you a history lesson. On Friday of December of 41, that would have been, if that was the 7th was Sunday, so Friday would have been the 5th, I guess. They were sitting in Washington, D.C., talking peace because they had invaded China and all of that and taken over. They were trying to get, and yet warships were steaming toward the Hawaiian Islands. That's what I'm talking about. They're talking this way here, but they're talking this way. They're talking war over here. We're going to take them down. See, we've got to get to where when we speak the same thing continually the same way. When I pray over my food, and you can ask, there's my son, daughter, and there's one of my 5 grandsons sitting there. They will tell you that I am consistent in saying the same thing all the time. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And then I make a confession about whatever it is, finances, healing for the family, whatever it is. I make every time I pray over my food, I do it. Isn't that right, guys? Wave your hand if you're right. There they are. They're my witnesses right there. I didn't tell them I was going to do that either, so they didn't know it. Okay? If you confess the word and say, oh, it's not working, then it won't. If you confess the word, it will work. Our problem is that we are a generation of want it now. You know, as I'm talking to you tonight, I want to look at some people in the Bible that experienced victory by their talk. Let's look at David. You know, he went out there. He saw this Goliath, this giant. He said, I'll take care of him. Now, I want you to notice that they tried to put stuff on him. Well, you better do this, you better do that, you better do that, get this. He said, hey, I can't operate in this. See, that's what people around you will start telling you about, hey, this, that, and the other. You got to do like David. He said, I don't know nothing about this armor. I'm not familiar with this. And he went out and got him 5 stones, put them in his pouch with his slingshot. See, we've got to realize sometimes when you read that story, you know, okay, armor. Well, hey, the enemy sends people into your life to talk to you and tell you things. And you're going to have to do like David and say, hey, wait a minute. I haven't tested this. I don't know nothing about this. Hey, get this out of here. It may be your friend. I had somebody say something to me the other day. I didn't even respond, you know, because I wasn't going to get in a conversation with them. But you know what? I let it go in this ear and out the other one. I didn't even entertain it in my mind. When the enemy comes with you things contrary to what you're saying, contrary to the word of God, you cannot even afford to even think about it for one split second. And you know how much a split second is? In track, when I was running track, they had this deal strung across the track that you hit. Now they got the timing light, but back then they had this, anybody run when they had that strung across the track? And whoever hit it first. Okay, here is it hit. There's a tenth of a second. You know how I know? Because I'm this guy right here. And I should have been this guy. But you know what? I got distracted and did the cardinal rule that you shouldn't do when you're running track. And I glanced across the track. That one glance, even though I didn't realize it, slowed me down that much. Every time that you, even for a second, split second, think about something that's contrary to what you've been believing and what you've been saying, it has an effect on you. And you get too many of them and you can forget it. Hello now. Anybody get what I'm talking about? Okay, look at this. So here's David. I want you to notice something here. The giant began to talk too. He began to tell David what he was going to do. David didn't even pay attention to him. So in 1 Samuel 17, 45, David cranks up. He let the giant talk. He didn't pay attention. Then David said to the Philistine, you come at me with sword and spear and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, of God of the armies of Israel, which you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give you the carcasses of the Philistines to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Now you see, we read this, sometimes you don't get a hold of stuff. Did you listen to this? The battle for the Lord, he said, it's not a physical thing. For the battle is the Lord. So quit battling. I heard my dad tell a guy that one time. Oh, Brother Hagin, I'm just battling. The enemy just got me going. I'm just battling. Dad said, what are you battling for? Quit battling. Jesus already battled and won the victory. So all you got to do is believe it, receive it, and confess it. Come on. Now, he said here, 48, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David that David hurried and ran toward. I want you to notice, it says he ran toward him. He didn't stand back and wait for him to come to him. When he started moving, he started toward him. I sort of believe he was talking to him when he is going running toward him. How many of y'all remember, it's been several years ago, I'm up here preaching, and I was back here then. We didn't have this extension. And somebody ran and made the stage over there. Was anybody here when that happened? And people said to me, we couldn't believe it. You went toward him. Is that not right? How many of you remember that? I went toward him. They said, man, you. I said, hey, I learned one thing a long time ago. The guy that charges is the one that's usually in control. See, quit sitting back and waiting on the devil. You charge him. Tell him what he's going to do. I charged him. I said, get off this stage. You got no right on. Get out of here. That's what I told him. Why? Because, number one, I got the right to do it. But number two, I realized you can't wait to see what he's going to do. I've got to take charge of the situation. That's what you got to do when the enemy comes charging at you. You have to take charge of the situation. How do you do it? With your mouth, by saying what God said. This is what the word says. You have no right. You have no authority. Come on now. See, actually, David's words paved the way for what happened. You know, he declared victory before he ever even charged. He declared the victory before he ever took off after the giant. Hello? You might say his victory was in his mouth then. Now, look at this. This is the way I see it, okay? In the spirit world, when he made that confession of faith based upon who God is and what God is and what God can do, he set it in action already in the spirit world. All he did was go and act it out in the natural. Somebody said, well, I don't know if that's theologically correct or not. I don't either, and I don't care. I'm not going to get in a theological argument with people. Some people ask me some questions sometimes. They say, well, you studied some theology. I said, yeah, and I ain't going to discuss it with you either. Go with what the Bible says. I learned it from my father. My father said, don't worry about theology. Don't worry about religion. Don't worry about tradition. Only be concerned about what the word says. Okay. Let's look at the Roman centurion. It's a story about in Matthew 8. And the centurion went to him, Jesus. And Jesus said, well, I'll come. And the centurion answered, this is 8:8, Matthew, and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now, I want you to notice here. He is understanding from the natural what you have to do in the spiritual. I speak to these, and they do it. You've got to speak in the spiritual world. You got to speak what to those situations. See, somebody said, well, it's a natural thing. Hey, anything that's happening to you in the natural is being influenced and being, what's the word I want there? It's being affected in your life from the enemy himself. It may be a person, but that person is being influenced by the enemy. Why? To take you out. To get you out of victory. Hello. So I don't know why I'm fixing to say this, but the Spirit of God said, hey, there will be people that will come to you and it seems like a spiritual thing, and they will say, oh, you should do this and you should do that. Hey, analyze the situation before you listen to anybody and make sure it lines up with the Word of God and lines up with something that God is already dealing with you about. If you listen to Kenneth E. Hagin or go read some of his books, listen to his CDs, you'll hear him say that. I heard him say it many times. He said, son, you can't listen to everybody. He said this to me, you can't listen to everybody. I don't care even if they're a preacher. In the natural, we get our eyes too much on some individual. Oh, brother so-and-so said it. It has to be true. If it's contrary to the Word of God, it's not. I don't care what their name is. Paul said, if I come teaching anything other than I have already taught according to the Word, kick it out. That's my version of it. I want you to notice specifically the words. He said, only speak the word. He understood authority and people that were under him. Do you see, that's why you need to, that's why you got to get authority to the believer and read it at least once a year. Wouldn't hurt you to read it twice a year. Because you need to understand your authority to speak to the situation. I speak to it all the time. I learned it from him. My dad told me, I sat right there when I was praying about the offering. I heard my dad say it, and I say it all the time. Ministering spirits go and cause the finances to come so that Rhema can do and accomplish the vision that you've given us to accomplish. I say it for my own personal life. You need to learn how to say it for your own personal life. There's a deal back there. Faith for saying it by finances. It's a CD. I had it pulled out of a set, and it's a single CD. I had them have it in the book. So you need to listen to that. Because everybody struggles with finances. But that the secret of how we got out from under everything. Someday maybe I do it on the road. Sometimes I just sit down and I tell my story. But any of y'all ever heard that when I was on the road? I think I did it at your church, didn't I, Darren? And I just sat there. And it all comes back to what I'm talking right now, saying. It all comes back to saying. I guess I need to do that here at the church sometime. Just do that. I'll do it. Okay. You fight the good fight of faith with your mouth, with what you talk. Notice Jesus' response to the centurion. Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done. Then another one. I usually go to Mark, but I'm going to go to Matthew 9. The woman with the issue of blood, 20th verse. She had a flow of blood for 12 years, came up from behind and touched his hem of his garment, for she said, if I only touch his garment, I shall be made well. I want you to notice that she made the statement before any, and then made it happen. David made the statement and made it happen. His mouth, with the mouth. Remember the story over there when Paul was taken into custody by the Romans and they were going to give him a whipping with the cat of nine tails, and he opened his mouth and said, I'm a Roman citizen. It changed everything. It changed everything. Now, instead of being against him, they're for him. See, you need to daily tell the devil who you are. I'm the righteous of God in Christ. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, so why are you even trying for it? Anytime he comes telling you something, whispering in your ear, or somebody else says something, you don't have to say it then, but you can say it to yourself. That's, hey, that's coming from the devil. He's a liar. He can't tell the truth, so I ain't even pay attention to it. Come on. Anybody getting anything out of this? She heard about Jesus, and then she said, if I can touch his clothes, I shall be whole. See, she just didn't sit there. David just didn't make a statement and stay still. He went to do something about it. She consistently said out of her mouth. Now there are some that say, I don't know. It probably is. I can't prove it. Nobody else can prove it didn't happen. But she probably continually said it until she got to where Jesus was. Actually, I don't know where she was when she heard of Jesus. I don't know where Jesus was when she went to find him, but when she found him, there's a crowd there. And under the law, the Mosaic law that she was living under, she wasn't even supposed to be out in the public in the first place. Just like some of us, we had 14 days, we couldn't go nowhere, do nothing. Hello. But I want you to notice, she didn't let a crowd. I know there was a crowd because after she touched him, the disciple said, what are you talking about? Who's touching? Look at this crowd. So I know there's a crowd there. And she had to come up on the outside of it. And she had to work her way through that crowd to get to Jesus. And I can just see her. She kept saying, if I can touch him, I'll be whole. Okay? You find your victory with your mouth. Say to the mountain, be removed. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say, and you'll have what you say. That's what the Bible says. I just sort of paraphrased it. But now look at Proverbs 6:2. That was Mark 11:23 in my paraphrase. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken captive by the words of your mouth. And in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I sort of like how the New Living says it. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. In other words, what you say on the good side or what you say on the bad side. That's what it's saying right here. The tongue can bring death or life. And those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So learn to talk the right talk. Say the right things. Do you realize when you believe and speak with your mouth, you are releasing the most dynamic power that there is anywhere in the world? It doesn't matter who you are. What you say directly affects your victory or your defeat. I say it all the time, but in playing ball, coaches, we had one coach one time, one guy was in locker rooms, and this kid said, well, you know, coach, this team is, they're a lot better than we are. You know what the coach said to him? He said, go ahead and suit up, but you're sitting on the bench. You ain't even going in the game. Because no use to put you out there because you don't even think you can win to start with. You got to believe you can before you can. And all my athletic deals, and I was half decent, especially in track, I never stepped between those lanes that I didn't think. I would look sometimes when we was getting ready after we got our blocks. I would look. I'd just say to myself, you think you're pretty good. You haven't run into me yet, have you? In the spirit realm, you got to have that same attitude toward the enemy when he's bringing all this mess against you. And when you start confessing it, hold fast to it. Keep confessing it. You can't win if you don't say you can win. My dad used to say, set a watch on your words. Be careful what you say. Hold fast to your confession of faith. Some people wobble back and forth. Like James says there in James 1, you're like a sea wave driven. One day you're here and one day you're here. And one day you're here and you're back and forth, back and forth. You know, all of you know that I had confessed it and I kept, and COVID can't live in my body and so forth and so on. It came. I kept confessing it this whole time. I said, COVID, you can't live in my body. You can't affect me. You can't. And I had no symptoms. I never lost taste. I never lost smell. I never had fever. Had a little congestion, and that was it. But you see, I want to tell you, even in the midst of the situation, I kept confessing what the Word said. See, I don't care what your situation is. What's your financial situation? Keep confessing what the Word said. I said, Mr. Devil, you trying to put this on me? You can't put this on me. Lynette and I would pray over our food, and we confess it today. I just got through praying. I prayed over a sandwich I had today. I said, thank you, Lord. COVID can't affect me. I keep confessing it today. I confessed it starting back last March, and I confessed it all through those 14 days, didn't I? Yes, she did too. What I'm saying is, you got to. I don't care if the situation gets bad. You got to keep saying what you said, what the Word says. You got to keep saying it. That's where a lot of people mess up, when they've been confessing it and then it doesn't happen exactly like they think it should, and they start to waffle. They don't know. I don't know. Hey, I know the Bible is still the Bible. I don't care what happens, and I'm going to keep confessing the Word in the middle of the situation and come out on the other side. Hallelujah. It's 8:00. I got to stop. Everybody stand up. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? Say this with me. The victory is in what I say. If I say the right things in line with the Word of God and believe them when I say them, I will have them. You believe that? I believe it. You need to make the right confession every day about everything. I get up in the morning and I say, this is the day the Lord made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I ask every day, I ask the Lord for wisdom to handle any situation that I have to handle that day. When I pray over my food, I always say, no weapon formed against me. I say, thank you, Father, for health and healing. And no weapon formed against me can prosper. And then I make confessions that I have to make. And then I thank the Lord for the food. I do that at least twice a day. Somebody said, I'm just saying what I do. You do what you do. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. That's what I do. I keep saying the same thing every day. Somebody said to me, I said, well, I heard you pray a year ago and you still praying the same way. I said, yeah, and if you hear me a year from now, you'll still hear the same thing, because the Word of God says that I have to make a continual confession of faith and believe it in my heart if I'm going to have it. I don't know about y'all. I preach me happy today. I believe God. I believe the Word. What the Word says will happen. You know, people come out, Brother Hagin, what's going to happen? Dad would say, exactly what the Bible says. I heard him say it hundreds of times, thousands really, through the years. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and thank God for the Word. Thank God that you have authority to speak the Word and change your situation. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, I trust you got something out of what I had to say tonight. You know how I do on Wednesday night. I just like to get up here and just to talk to you like I would talk to my family. You know, sometimes I think that does better than somebody trying to preach a sermon. Hallelujah. Jesus is real, isn't he? The Word of God is real, isn't it? How many of you believe what you say will come to pass? Glory to God. Then act like it. Remember all of the announcements. Hey, we need help for winter Bible. Hey, begin to confess with your mouth. We'll have good weather for winter Bible seminar. And believe it when you confess it. Don't even go look at the weather report. See if it's changed. Let me tell you one more thing. When I started the school in 74, I started the school with 72 students, $2,000 in the bank, I think I had, wasn't it, hon? $2,000 in Rhema bank account. And then they sent me an employee that was making more money than I was, and he had to be paid. I looked at the books, and the month of February, there was no way. Our outgo or outflow was greater than our intake. I had a lady that helped me. Was over at Sheridan in my office here, little bitty office, and she was out here. And the filing cabinet was right here, and she had shown me the books. And I made the confession. I said, Lord, we'll get through the month of February. We'll pay every bill and have money left over. I should have set a specific amount, but I didn't. I just say money left over. For the 28 days of February, well, Monday through Friday, that would be however how many 20 days, however how many days that was. I was the only teacher. I'm teaching 4 hours a day in the classroom. Every day, I'd walk back to my office, and there was the filing cabinet right there. All I got to do is pull the door open and look in and see what's coming in. And the enemy would tempt me. I said, no, hey, you know you need to look. the Word of God. I'm confessing the Word. I confess it, and every day I walk by that. I say, thank the Lord. I sometimes lay my hands on that, and I say, thank the Lord. At the end of the month, we'll have money left. We'll pay every bill and have money left. I did that. Hey, what I'm talking to you about, I live it. You know what? At the end of the month, we had paid every bill. I don't know how. I'm serious. I couldn't tell you how. And we had the same amount that we started the month with in the bank account. I think it was $50. But you see, the enemy would tempt me every day. Every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every day. And I walked by that cabinet two or three times or more a day. And every time I walked by it, he said, oh, check the records. Check it. Hey, make sure it's happening. I said, I don't have to make sure it's happening. It is happening. The Bible says so. Hallelujah. Okay, that's it. See y'all Sunday right here. God bless.